Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. This show is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast.
Robots Radio presents...
to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, a place where the Elder Scrolls community can come together to discuss the boundaries of our knowledge about the universe of the Elder Scrolls.
Adventurers, welcome back. This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, and I am your host, Tom, or Robots, and I have to apologize first off for missing last week. I don't ever like to miss a week, but things have been kind of a little bit more exciting, I guess you could say, than usually you want them
that's
to.
That's one way to put it.
That's one way to put it around my parts. My father has been in the hospital, and so... things have been, like I said, a little bit more exciting. He actually had a what was going to be a quadruple bypass became, fortunately, a triple bypass. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. It was a surprise. He didn't have a heart attack or anything, but the doctors were like, hey, we should probably get you checked out. And that became kind of an emergency procedure. So we were planning to do a podcast. And then all of a sudden I was like, nope, no podcast tonight. And then that became a few days of stressful, you know, like, oh, gosh, this is not what I expected to do for these few days. So,
I mean, to your defense, I was going to say, even after the initial thing is behind you, that doesn't mean that it's just suddenly like, well, stress free, nothing to worry about now. It's
right,
like,
right.
Yeah, being in a headspace to talk about fictional stuff is probably not great when you have something like that going on. So.
Right, right. But fortunately, I actually got to talk to him today. It's been the first time in the last week I've had a chance to talk to him. I've been in contact with my mom. Everything's actually going very well. The doctors say that he's recovering very well. He's in rehab at the hospital. They're walking him around. He's out of breath to have conversations and things, but he's doing a lot better. So thank you to all the kind words, all the positive thoughts, all the prayers, all the things that any of you guys have done to say, you know, hey, you're thinking about me or any of that stuff. Thank you very, very much. I do appreciate it. So and for your patience on getting this episode out. Lotus and I were planning to talk about this last week and we just didn't get a chance. But this is a very exciting episode. We've been wanting to talk about this. So Lotus. By the way, Lotus is here. He's the co-host.
It's true.
Hey, hi, Lotus. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
How's it going? So we were talking recently about the fact that I've been catching up on the stuff going on in the Elder Scrolls Online and had finished up the previous year of content and then catching up on this year's stuff content going on for the Deadlands and all that stuff coming up. And so let's just start this off by saying, if you haven't finished up the Dark Heart of Skyrim content from last year, there may be some spoilers. We're not going into the story so much as we're discussing details about what the actual Dark Heart of Skyrim might have to do with the lore. And
what it could kind of mean.
What it could actually mean. So you may want to be a little bit hands off on this episode if that's going to be spoilery to you. If you don't care about that kind of thing and you're just going to work through the content anyway, then don't worry about it. If you've already played through that content, don't worry about it. But just putting that out there in the beginning, that's usually why we wait a good year to cover anything, to give people time to play through that. Also, that content has gone on sale recently. It's been a few weeks since it went on sale. You may have already played through it if you picked it up. So there, that's the disclaimer at the beginning. So let's dive into this. What is the topic? Well, it's not specifically the Dark Heart of Skyrim. It is what the Dark Heart of Skyrim may actually be tapping into. And that is the concept of the void. Because this is a nebulous concept, Lotus. This is something that a lot of things point to. And we dance around it a lot in the lore. And when we talk about the void, and I just want to set this up because we're going to have to kind of come at this from a lot of different angles. And I've done some more research around this. We've talked about this in a lot of different ways. And at the very beginning of this podcast, I discuss Anu and Padme, right? The origins of everything. And the fact that they came from what seems to be the void. And they were the two personalities, the two beings that emerged from the void, like stasis and this creative spirit and chaos and order and like all these concepts that kind of erupted from the void. And how that may have actually worked. And there's these theories with the Altmer as to this idea of how that may have worked. And then if you come at it from a different angle, you've got this concept of Sithis, which may be connected to Padme. And the Dark Brotherhood like to worship Sithis. And they consider Sithis to be intimately connected either to Padme or the Void itself. All of these things kind of get mushed together, right? And this idea that they are sending the souls back to the void, not to oblivion, not to the little void, which oblivion is sometimes called the void, right? Not to the void of the, you know, the realms of the Daedric princes, but to the capital V void at the beginning of everything, or beyond the realm of the Aedra.
Which is also interesting to think, because like a lot of times, you know, Nords would want to be going to Sovngarde or Red Guards to the Far Shores. And it's like, this isn't that either.
Right. The realm of Aetherius, which was, seems to be the outer. If you have everything's kind of these circles within circles, like the outer circle shell of everything. And yet somehow the void is out beyond that outer shell, potentially. So is Padme Sithis? Are they the same things? Are they intimately more connected to the void than Anu and the Aedra? These concepts of like Anuic spirits and Padmeic spirits, like there are different thinkings about that. I've covered some of that in the past. And then you even have Lorcan and this concept of Lorcan being connected more with Padme and Sithis than with the Aedric spirits. And so in order to just start us off down this path, let's talk about a little book called Sithis. And this book comes from originally from Morrowind. And so it's got a specific author's flavor to it. One of your favorite authors, Lotus. and I don't know for sure, but when I read this, it sounds a lot like Kirkbrideian writing to me. So let's just read through it and let me know what you think. So this is called Sithis, text detailing an apparent connection between Sithis and Lorcan. Now, reminder, the void spawned Anu and Padme. Padme and Sithis may be analogous. Padme may have spawned Sithis. Sithis may have spawned Lorcan. We don't know. These are just theories, right? But this document then says this. Sithis is the start of the house. Before him, there was nothing. So in this concept, Sithis is Padme. But the foolish Altmer have names for and revere this nothing. That is because they are lazy slaves. Indeed, from the sermons, this is Vivek's sermons, stasis asks merely for itself, which is nothing. Stasis meaning the void, I believe.
That's how I would take it too, is stasis is like the idea is unchanging. So
it is happy to be unchanging. It wants for nothing, right?
Right.
Sithis sundered from nothing and mutated the parts, fashioning from them a myriad of possibilities. These ideas ebbed and flowed and faded away, and this is how it should have been. One idea, however, became jealous and did not want to die. Like the stasis, he wanted to last. This was the demon Anu-El. So Anu became Anu-El, right?
Yep.
Who made friends, and they called themselves the Aedra. They enslaved everything that Sithis had made and created realms of everlasting imperfection. Thus are the Aedra the false gods, that is, illusion. So everything the Aedra made is imperfect and an illusion. Only thing that is whole and perfect is stasis, Sithis itself. right? That seems to be where this is going, right?
That's
even the things that Sithis makes are fleeting and go back to the void and are nothing at all, ultimately, are unchanging and become nothing. So Sithis begot Lorkhan and sent him to destroy the universe. Lorkhan! Exclamation mark. Unstable mutant! Exclamation mark. Lorkhan had found the Adric weakness. While each rebel was, by their nature, immeasurable, the rebels being the Aedra, they were, through jealousy and vanity, also separate from each other. So that each of the Aedra were separate. They were distinct. They each have the different powers and abilities, different realms of control, right? They were also unwilling to go back to the nothing of before. So while they ruled their false domains or dominions, Lorkhan filled the void with a myriad of new ideas. So this lends itself to the concept that he gave them this idea of working together to build something cohesive rather than just being, right?
Right.
These ideas were legion. Soon it seemed that Lorkhan had a dominion of his own. So he had them build his idea, right? The world, Nirn. With slaves and everlasting imperfections, and he seemed, for all the world, like an Aedra. Right? But he wasn't, because he did not come from the same source. He came from Sithis. Exactly. He's still separate from them, but he is not an Aedra. Thus did he present himself as such to the demon Anui-El and the eight givers as a friend. So Anui-El spawned Akatosh, right? Was Akatosh. This is all very debatable. And the eight givers, the other Aedra, and seemed as a friend. And then the line, go unto the Sharmat Dagoth as a friend. This is from Morrowind, so this ties into some of the game concepts and ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say, this right? is starting to get very Morrowindy.
Right, right. And then the line, and this is old Elnofex, probably, and it says, A-A-E, Hermamora,
woo,
forbidden knowledge, probably, right?
Yeah, it's got to be the forbidden knowledge area, yeah.
Forbidden knowledge. Altadun, one word, translates to something. Padhome, which probably means Padme. Lakan, probably means Lorkhan. AE, again, AE. AI, AI. So let me read that last line again. A, Hermamora, Altadun, Padhome, Lakan, AI. Whatever that last line means is probably very important. Okay, so before we dig into the last line, because there is some speculation online as to what that last bit of text means. What do you think about this? What do you think about this concept?
So it is, I mean, it kind of, I guess, the big thing that I always think of when relating to the void, unless you're talking about like back about the creation of everything with Anu and Padme. The big thing that you get most from the games involving the void is when you're dealing with the Dark Brotherhood.
Yes.
Or the Shadow Scales, I was going to say, who are in the Dark Brotherhood, but they're just like super cool Argonians. They also don't really get a choice in the matter. But
yeah, they're just cool guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, born under the serpent, that's it was chosen for you. But the thing about that, relating to the whole idea of stillness, which I find kind of fascinating, is the idea to the Dark Brotherhood is that their thing is always sending people back to the void. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what is the ultimate way of causing stillness? Okay, being dead. Like, it doesn't get any more non-function, still, quiet. Like, that is the pinnacle of there's nothing happening because you've ceased to be at that point. And the whole idea to them is to send these people, well, their contracts back to the void. So it kind of like plays into itself. And you're assuming you actually do the quest lines to the game, they definitely play into that. And the one thing about that I really actually kind of wanted to mention, just because it was just where my mind went, in regards to, I guess, spoilers on a potential way to do the Dark Brotherhood stories. So this is a little weird because you don't, the game doesn't really make you play this way, but this is one of the alternate ways you can play is, some of the games, I won't mention which ones necessarily just to keep it vague, but still get my point across, is you're dealing with other Dark Brotherhood members who are too ambitious, doing their own thing too much, whatever the case may be. It happens several times. The Dark Brotherhood tends to get a little stabby on themselves at some point, which is funny because, again, in this grand scheme of things, it's when there's too much movement, so to speak, even in the Dark Brotherhood, it needs to kind of be brought down. Like you they silence that area and everything like that. So it's almost like being too active outside your given role in the Dark Brotherhood is also a problem that kind of needs to be sent back to the void, for various reasons throughout the different games. But it is interesting because in one of the games specifically, the alternate thing could be just eliminating the Dark Brotherhood. You don't need to work with them at all, even if you start to work with them. So it's kind of ironic that it seems like by eliminating the group who sends people back to the void, you're also contributing to being what the Dark Brotherhood is doing. It's just on different targets than they might have intended. So it's almost like any type of conflict that ends in death, you could totally find a way of bringing it back to this is what Sithis wants.
Right.
You know, there's almost no way to logically, well, you can logically talk any situation into it being a benefit to, like, no, this is Sith's plan. What are you talking about? Clearly this needs to be what happens. and you're kind of like looped into this, whether you try to fight it or not, it all kind of loops back into it. So it's one of those, you can't really prove the thing wrong because it happens to, like, anything you do also contributes to it. So it's like a weird self-fulfilling prophecy when it comes to that.
Right. My big question is, we know that spirits go back to, I mean, we've talked about what happens to souls. We've talked about we've talked about the spirit railroad communication system, like in the previous episode.
Mimo spores.
We've talked about souls going back to Aetherius, potentially. We've talked about souls being gathered up by different Daedric lords for whatever reason they seem to have a want of them.
Right.
The concept that the soul actually goes all the way back to the void somehow and gets potentially erased or sent into the chaos and then stillness and removed from Nurem.
From it.
Like,
it's a much more
erased,
final sounding thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, then, like, how that happens, I don't think we have any clarity on that at all.
And right.
How that, and yeah, like,
it's interesting at that point, because then, like, I was just trying to make the point of, like, oh, it kind of all becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But throughout the games at the same time, we oftentimes communicate with the dead or spirits or whatever. So, or in some games, you literally go to Sovereign Guard or the Far Shores. Like, that's also a thing. So, to your point, it's interesting that the objective may be oftentimes to send these souls to the void, but, like, are these other post-life things roadblocks that would keep people from the void, or is it like an alternative to the void? It's an interesting idea that it's like, how do they relate to each other?
The,
like,
method.
How do you skip past one to get to the other, or how do you get from one to the other? Like,
well, my big question is the methodology for getting a soul to the void.
Yeah,
is a question. So, and I have some theories here. I want to just lay out some thoughts. So we have, I think there are some players that may have something to do with this, and I don't quite understand the actual function of how, say, a Dark Brotherhood member sends a soul to the void, unless something like the Blade of Woe is magically enchanted to do so. You know, something like that could happen.
Sure. Or maybe the ritual that summons,
maybe the ritual, like that, tying somebody's spirit to, you know, be singled out, and their death then commanding their soul to a certain point. Maybe that could make sense.
And, And without getting like too off track, the one thing that has always been interesting is the Dark Brotherhood, although they're kind of religious zealoty, the bottom line, as it so often is money, because you pay for these contracts to be carried out. But there's obviously something more than a business aspect to it, because in terms of the culty manner, by doing the Black Sacrament, that's what it's called, correct?
I believe so. That sounds right. And if we're wrong, somebody's going to yell at us.
Dark
Sacrament, maybe?
Yeah. So by doing the ritual to summon them, it actually summons them. So like they become aware of it. So there's something more than just
something.
Hey, here's
happening.
An envelope with a bunch of septums in it.
Right.
You want to kill this person for me? Like the communication is there without them necessarily needing to communicate in person. Like the signal is sent via some other means because of that ritual.
Right. And the concept of the Dread Father, the Dark Brotherhood's the mother,
the Night Mother,
the Dread Father, they actually do communicate in some method. Like there's something going on there with those figures. Who those figures actually are, there's speculation about that. It seems that Sithis himself is the Dread Father. If that is the same Sithis as Padme, then maybe that's a connection there. Now, who the Night Mother actually is, there's speculation about that as well. So here, I'm going to lay some stuff out because I think this may have some tie in to the Void itself and to the Dark Heart. So let's get into what the Dark Heart is and how that plays out. The Black Sacrament. Thank you, Chef. In chat says Black Sacrament.
Yeah, it's all Black Sacrament.
So cool. There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
So, okay. So this is a summary from the UESP. Go to the UESP.net. They have a podcast as well. It's on the Robust Radio Network. You can go listen to them. It's awesome. But from the article about the Dark Heart of Skyrim, it says here, the Dark Heart, also known as the Frightful Heart, is an ancient, is an artifact associated with Nymira. And this comes up during the story quest, but it's not strongly noted, but it is noted through some of the cultural interpretations of Lorcan, specifically Lorc or Lorcaj, physically appearing as a sphere of darkness surrounded by a radiant aquamarine corona. It is a piece of primal void trapped on Nirn that warps existence around it. According to the ancient Khajiit, Nymira became a shadowy imitation of Lorcan's heart, while Reach belief holds that the darkness left his heart after his sacrifice for the creation of the realm of flesh. Regardless, Lorcan's real heart was flung towards what is now Vardenfell and created the Red Mountain, as we've discussed before. While the Dark Heart found its way into the depths of Black Reach and remains under the influence of Nymira. So Nymira plays a big role with this. And way back when I started this podcast, we had an episode, of course, on each of the Daedric Princes and Nymira. And so let's remind you guys about Nymira, the Daedric Prince whose sphere is the ancient darkness. She's also known as the Lady of Decay, the Spirit Daedra, and the Goddess of the Dark. Nymira is the ruler of Sundry Dark, the shadowy spirits, and often associated with slugs, spiders, and other things that inspire mortals with instinctive revulsion through the symbol of a bat is featured on her emblem. The Khajiit believe that all creatures who feed on rotten flesh are her spies. She is the Daedric Prince of spirits and shadows, as well as the patron of vermin and squalor. And then it goes on. It says that mortals who became ensnared by this spirit are tortured until they forgot who they were and know only Nymira. Ancient Khajiit knew her as an Erdra. That's the phrase.
It's like an original Daedra.
Right. A term also used to describe nocturnal. It implies that the owner of the title is the oldest and most powerful of the Daedric princes.
Well, there you go.
Interesting, right? Also, Hermaeus Mora is similarly called an Erdaedra.
Correct.
Who is elder than Aedra. Nymira's followers and the priesthood of Arkay have clashed in the past. So there are some interesting things going on here. Also, several Reachman clans pay reverence to Nymira. Some tribes call Nymira the children's god because she is the mistress of small pests. And to the Khajiit, she is known as Nymira with two eyes, the great darkness, the eldest spirit, and the void. So we've got something going on here with Nymira. It seems to me that she's not just a quote unquote normal Daedra, that there's actually something going on here with Nymira. And I wouldn't be surprised. And I do know that she, there are some theories here that she may be related to the Night Mother. And if there's something going on with a connection between Nymira being one of the eldest of the Daedric spirits and being the Night Mother connected with consuming and claiming these souls and connected to Sithis and the void, that all really lines up really well. And Lorcan, do you see all of that? Imitating Lorcan's heart and then bringing forth that power into the dark heart of Skyrim. That seems like almost too coincidental.
I was going to say it's almost too coincidental is that they wouldn't line up in some way.
I think that there's something going on here. That's my like, hey, what's going on here? We're just throwing it out there in the world kind of theory. What do you think about that right now? Like, well, just off the top of your head.
The big thing is, to your point, like, it really is like that is a big coincidence if those things just happen to line up like that. Like, it seems like there needs to be something more to that, which I don't know. I mean, I it sounds plausible to me. Like, I think you might be onto something. I could definitely see that being a direction of how this all works.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some connection there. So
yeah.
So tell you what, we've got some more to discuss. We've also have that final line in the Sithis short story to uncover, yes. And that of course brings up Herr Mamora as well, who is one of the Erdra potentially. So we're going to go into that after the break, but we have to go thank our patrons, and so we'll be right back.
The skies are marked with numberless sparks, each a fire, and every one a sign.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
So this is super exciting because we have two new patrons this week to call out. We have Alex B and Chef S. Thank you for signing up on the Patreon. Welcome aboard. I hope you guys are enjoying your new ad-free episodes and your early episodes. You'll be getting this episode early, so welcome aboard. And thank you to all of our patrons, including our tier 5 patrons, Daniel O and Noodle Al Dente. And we've got our, let's see, we've got our patron episode coming up very soon.
Next week, I believe.
Two weeks.
The
28th. Yeah.
Right before Halloween.
Right before Halloween on the 28th. So if you'd like to join us, then check out the Patreon. And also, if we've done anything to help you get through your workday or your, you know, driving to work or your workout or your, and I mentioned this on another episode, cleaning of your dog or your or your werewolf. Because, I mean, you have a dog. I have dogs.
It's true. She's sleeping in the background right now.
Yeah, dogs. My dog had poopy problems today while I was streaming this morning. And I got done streaming. I walked in the other room and I'm like, why does it smell? And I was like, oh.
That's a shame.
Poopy problems. So if, sometimes you just got to put a podcast on in the background while you're cleaning up the poopy problems. So if we help you out with that and, you know, keep your mind on things that are more interesting to think about than poopy problems, then go check out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast, because, you know,
what a sell,
you know, sometimes you just gotta help a person out. You know, we help you out, you help us out. And by the way, reminder, there's some cool shirts on there that are limited edition. You'll never get them once they're off there. They go out to you guys every 3 months. If you are a patron tier 4 or higher, you'll get shirts. Tier 3 gets stickers, and once those designs are gone, they are gone, and they'll never be up on the store. In fact, Lotus and I will never even get them. You guys are getting them because you're patrons. I wish I could get them, but I can't because I'm not a patron. I guess I could be a patron of my own
Patreon
show.
Yourself, I suppose. That's a weird situation to be in.
I could do it though. I'll think about that. But anyway, go check that stuff out. Thank you again to all of our patrons. You guys are amazing. And Lotus, you want to talk about your stuff coming up for?
Sure.
Your charity stuff? Because that's
fine.
That's a big deal. That's some awesome stuff.
It is. So for anybody who doesn't know, each year I am part of the Extra Life charity, which is a charity in which all of the proceeds go to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals, pretty much to provide care regardless of financial situation to children with cancer, all sorts of different situations. And with the whole COVID thing that's been still a lingering problem in the world, that is kind of upped the demand for a lot of medical treatment, as beds are in short supply and everything like that. So this year we actually started our own charity team, the Elder Heroes. Just doesn't even need to just be Elder Scrolls stuff, but it's just where we kind of congregated to try to do some good as a group. So my portion of the marathon will be kicking off with Tales of Tamriel, actually, next weekend, October 23rd, in which I will be starting the marathon by doing 20 hours of Elder Scrolls-based content on my channel, Lotus of Doom. And I will be starting at 7 a.m. October 23rd, and we will be relaying throughout the team until Monday morning at 3 a.m. So all weekend long, all weekend. And I know one of my buddies, LickRick2345, as well as Ark, have, you know, more interest with other stuff as well as Elder Scrolls. So if you're on the New World interest thing, I'm sure there will be some of that after my section of it as well. So if that's of interest to you, we'll have giveaways, and the creative director, Rich Lambert, will be joining me for a portion to do dungeons or trials or something like that on Saturday. But yeah, that's coming up, not this weekend, but the following one. So very exciting stuff. We've actually almost hit our first goal of $1,000 for myself and the Tales tag. And we haven't started the marathon yet. And as a team, we're actually only $111 away from our $5,000 goal already. Man, wow. So it's going very well, and we haven't even kicked off most of the people's marathons. So very excited. Even if you can't donate, don't feel like you can't help. If you have the opportunity to just leave a tab open for us while we stream, it actually makes a pretty huge difference. Generally, my own channel, I have no schedule, so to speak, really outside of the podcast. But during this, the more eyes that you can get on the marathon, the more likely somebody who is in a financial situation to donate can donate. So if any of you are free and around that weekend, have internet access and wouldn't mind coming by Lotus of Doom on Twitch, hang out, maybe win yourself a prize of some type. We have all sorts of goodies that we're going to be giving away when we hit milestones and everything like that. And obviously, if you can donate, that's awesome too. So very excited for next weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely go check that out. Sounds awesome, dude. That's crazy that you guys are already so far along on your goal. That's awesome.
We're way above any expectations. These were our like end goals, and it's like, wow, this is amazing.
You got to come up with a next tier. You got to raise it.
We're going to have to come up with some next tiers for stuff and so horrible things that we to inspire people to donate to this cause. Because it's interesting as the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages headed by Pylon. They also are part of the Elder Heroes charity team. Neither them or us have even had our marathons yet this year, and we're almost at our goal. So it's like, yeah, we're going to need to get a bigger goal. You guys are all too generous.
That's awesome. That's a good problem to have.
We set our sights too low, apparently. So we'll just adjust.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's congratulations. And I'll definitely be there at least to check it out, if not to play some games with you guys. So
you've always been there each year since I've met you, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, let's move on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes. Yes. You're entirely brilliant. Conquering madness and all that. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, so let's go back to the book Sithis, and let's take that final line, because it says, A Hermamora Altadun Padome Lorcan AI. So there's speculation on the internet about this, and there has been since Morrowind came out, but more recently, there was a post, this isn't super recent, 8 years ago, so 2015, I believe, was when...
What is time?
2014. 2014? Is that 8 years ago? That doesn't make sense, does it?
7 years ago.
7 years ago. February 25th, 2014. However many years ago that was.
Yes, seven and change.
Seven and change. It says eight on the post. That's, I don't know.
They're wrong.
Maybe Reddit's
they're
doing
wrong
this math wrong. I don't know. Math. Anyway.
Yeah. It's still 2021. We don't need to rush up that much.
But somebody's speculating here, and there's words in here that we don't know what the meanings are, right? So there's speculation. Does Altadun mean weapon? So Hermamora can translate to hidden knowledge, right? Forbidden hidden knowledge. That is the weapon of change. Lorcan, that is maybe what that means.
Okay.
So... Forbidden hidden knowledge, that is the weapon of change. Lorcan, that is I.
Okay.
Maybe that means something like that?
I'll allow it. That's coherent. Which, myself included, sometimes when you come up with a theory, that you don't even get past that hurdle. So like that is okay. All right. I mean, I'm not. That doesn't seem necessarily like something I'm like, no, I absolutely not. All right. I'm down with that. I can see that.
Okay. So there's also some other potential translations here, because people are trying to figure this out in the post, right? So another concept is the hidden knowledge is the weapon. And then pad home could mean it is often connected to the symbol of the scarab. So hidden knowledge is the weapon of the scarab.
Okay.
Who is I? Okay. So then people extrapolate, well, what about this connection of Lorcan is the scarab, the species of the dung beetle. There's some connection to this. Change equals Lorcan equals the scarab. So hidden knowledge is the weapon of change / the scarab. Who is I? So this gets into the concept of the representation of the dung beetle pushing around the ball of dung,
right?
The scarab pushing around the ball of dung, right? This concept of the scarab is the antithesis of the dragon.
Yeah. All right. I see where this is going.
Do you follow?
Yeah. I see where we're going with that, where it's, yeah. All right. That one seems like a little more of a stretch, but there's enough connection to scarabs in lore as is, that it's like, okay, I could kind of see that connection being made then, if that's the case. That's that's still somewhat plausible. I'm definitely more of a fan of the first one so far, but
right. And then people talk about how like the Lorcan, the N in Lorcan represents the new man, the Admoran man, and then the representation of Lorcan being pro man. Man is the representation of change, which is bringing down the concept of the world as designed by the Aedra and the elves.
And the elves, okay. Right,
and all of that. This all kind of works right, into breaking the cycle.
Sure, where's about, the Myrrh trying to maintain the cycle type
right,
of deal.
Right, all of that whole concept thing. So this whole idea of Lorcan trying to destroy that which the Aedra created in order to bring things all back to the void again.
Okay. All right.
You can see how that could work, right?
Yeah, again, okay. I could see how that could go together. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, all right. All right. I'm on board.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right, I'm on board. Okay. I see where we're going with that.
Yeah. So that thought path could make some sense, but this whole idea of this hidden knowledge is the weapon of change. That to me, that seems to make sense.
This it idea does. That that's, like, that's kind of why maybe I connected with that. It's like it came out swinging the most accurately to me right out the mm-hmm. gate, where I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
I think some of this other stuff is
one
just
isn't
like,
necessarily bad. It's just like, oh, okay, I could also see you interpreting that way too. Like maybe that is, but the first one almost seemed like the most spot on, at least from like a. When you first read it, that would be the first connection I would see, as opposed to, you know, not that doesn't necessarily mean that it's correct, but it's just like, okay, yeah, that one seems almost more overt than the other two, which require a little more of a stretch to get to where you need to go. Not that they're wrong, but it's just right. Like there's a few more steps to get to where they're going, as opposed to the first one.
Right. Well, and the first one matches the rest of the text. This idea that
it does.
Lorcan was equipped with this hidden agenda, this hidden knowledge,
right,
and was brought into the world through Padme in order sure. to basically sabotage the creation.
That's a good point as well.
Right. So this whole concept is kind of fun, because if that's the case, then the spirits of like the whole Padmeic concept of Daedric spirits could make sense on some level, at least for some of the Daedric spirits. You could probably include Lorcan, Namira that we talked about, Hermaeus Mora, maybe somebody like Mephala, and Chef in chat puts, I've always associated the Night Mother with Mephala. Any thoughts on how Mephala or maybe Boethia are connected to Lorcaj? Maybe also Boethia. Like,
yep.
There could be some connections to some of these. I don't think you could associate some of the others. Like, I don't think somebody like, even though Molag Bal seems evil, or
right.
Mehrunes Dagon, they seem too worldly. They don't seem to want to destroy. They seem to want to conquer and hold for themselves.
Right. And I mean, I guess if you want to just get real literal, what with Mehrunes Dagon being so heavily with change, that's like the antithesis of being still.
Like, right. It's not changed to, I mean, it is destruction, but it's changed to create something else new, not
exactly.
To,
it's remove. It's constantly changing. Like right. That's the thing. It's once the change has put somebody, you know, one of the things in speculation on, you know, what did it have something to do with the current, you know, fall of the Empire type of thing after the events of Oblivion. It there's always change. It's like when somebody gets into power, okay, well now they're on top. Revolution again. Let's do this. Like and it's like that would be perpetual change with Mehrunes Dagon type of thing, which really at least fundamentally from one of his, you know, pillars really wouldn't work too well if you're constantly causing revolution.
Right, right. So I don't know that like Azura would make sense. Clavicus Vile is always trying to work out deals. Her scene, yeah. Jigalag / Sheogorath. Not, I mean, Sheogorath's crazy, but like they need, like Jigalag needs something to make order out of. Sheogorath right. needs something to make disorder out of, right?
Sure.
Perryite? Probably not.
Nobody likes Perryite.
Sanguine, maybe?
Just everybody gets into a drunken stupor and falls asleep.
But that means that makes everything still?
Maybe,
I don't know.
The connection to them starts becoming much, much more difficult to make, at least that I'm seeing. Like, I'm not seeing connections to those the same way you would potentially to Nymir and Bamethia, something like that.
Right, but there are a few that do seem more Padmeic. They seem more void birthed.
Yep.
And maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something about these Lorcan-like spirits, these Sithis-like spirits that are, that maybe there's something about them that is actually drawing the souls and maybe creation itself back to the stillness of the void. And
could be.
And they're still working on, say, Lorcan's original plan.
Yeah, well, especially because with the potential of Lorcan being so involved with everything, but so unknown by so many things as well, it's hard to tell where the tendrils of that actually reach. Because,
right.
I mean, even
if,
when we get
if
to,
they were it, for this plan at all, like there right. there is the thought that maybe he was actually trying to create something positive, you know, a sure. world for men and a place where people could actually have a thing, you know, like there is that theory as well. So this is assuming that he was like, you know, a agent of destruction and trying right. to bring things back to the void.
Yeah. Very interesting. This void thing is, it's such a nebulous concept. So it's like one of those weird in universe, out of universe things, kind of in the same way that I always joke with the Dwemer. It's like they're this weird thing that's there, mm-hmm. and they're made of almost entirely questions.
Right.
And
right.
the void has so little concrete to it,
but it keeps
it
getting hinted
like
at.
So many things are attached to it,
but it gets brought up. It keeps getting
right.
brought up and hinted
it's
at.
Always there,
but it's not really, nothing's really firm. There's not really, it's exactly. more just like, hey, there's this thing. Hey, it's remember there. There's this thing. And it's like, yeah, but what is it? We don't know, but there's a
it's
thing.
It's there though.
But there's a thing. And we're like, okay, but what is it?
Right. And every now and then you get these situations where, you know, well, you know, when you're trying to discuss something, it's like, well, it's there. Well, how do you know if you can't see it, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And with Elder Scrolls, a lot of times the benefit of this is you actually do get to see little bits of it. You actually get to see lots of it when you're in the entire Dark Heart of Skyrim season that happened last year that you can go through and do through the Greymoor chapter and Markarth and that. You actually see a lot of the void. In fact, you probably have the most interaction with the void, I would say, in the series.
Yeah, but you still don't ever, like, you can't
you never really just like
go to the void, because I would imagine that's impossible.
Right.
But you get to at least interact or see. I mean, you get to see the Dark Heart of Skyrim, which is about as close as you can get to the void, and you get to see the effects of somebody who is under the effects of the void.
And you kind of see these while you're down in Blackreach, and you're kind of in these areas that have been either not discovered yet, or they're you know, it's the vampire clans like working with different things down there. You start to encounter these rifts that seem like they're mm-hmm. actually the void seeping through with what they're doing, which is like, okay, this is there's a lot of something here, and it's tricky to put your finger on exactly what is happening concretely.
Right. Right. Yeah. So a lot of speculation. So again, this is another one of those topics that we don't really know for sure what's going on. So if you have thoughts about this and other references you want to share with us, please feel free to share them on the Robots Radio Discord. We'd love to see your posts on this, or, you know, tweet at us with some thoughts. We'd love to see that stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff that you guys can share with us about this stuff. I had another thought and it flew out of my brain. Chef in chat wrote, just found the time Lorcan was referred to as the Scarab by Bewitha and reference was made in the Cloak of Dirt being Mundus. It was in a sermon, yes. Sermon 10 of the 36 lessons.
Six yeah. lessons of Vivek. Yeah, that's actually a really good find, because when they mentioned that in chat, I was like, that does sound familiar, but I had zero references to why that sounded familiar. That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So
yeah,
sermon 10.
That sounds like
a Vivek
thing. Yeah. So yeah, cool. Well, please share that stuff with us. If you have any thoughts on what this could actually mean, The other thing that this makes me think about is Rich in chat the other day, or at least when he was streaming, I believe somebody was asking about, or no, it was during the big stream they had. And he said something about like this next season is going to be something none of you guys are going to expect, which makes me wonder, like, are they continuing
more with it?
Are they continuing more of this void stuff that we're all going to be like, what is going on?
Right, we didn't know, it wasn't just completely purged at the end of it.
Right. Right.
Like, that's right. They used vampires. There's more to it that
right
isn't necessarily just done.
They used vampires and werewolves and stuff to tell us like, ooh, we're going back to Skyrim and it's going to be vampires because that's like the thing we're familiar with.
Right.
But had they said we're going back to Skyrim to talk about the void, we would have all been like,
yeah,
right.
So it's a Dark Brotherhood expansion.
Right, we'd be like, this one's all about Sithis. We'd be like, wait, what?
Right, yeah.
So I don't know, I guess we're gonna have to see, but I'm excited, you know. I'm always excited about a new season and where they're going with the story, so
for sure
this will be exciting. Well, I think that does it for this episode. Again, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Lotus, do you have anything else going on other than the stuff that you're getting ready for in 2 weekends from now?
No, that's just kind of the that's where the mainstay of my attention has been, trying to just get all of that organized because these take a decent amount of effort to get going. Just organizing people and actual events like this, it's definitely a lot of fun, but oh boy, it is a lot of work. That's where the mainstay of my attention is. For the time being, actually we didn't have a show since the last time, but you joined me over on Tales of Tamriel 2 weeks ago with Madigan.
Yeah, good old Madigan.
Which we had a great discussion over there, because at the moment, what with all the excitement with New World and everything like that, and I stand by the fact that it's like, these are games, so like the idea to these is they're supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. If you're not really playing Elder Scrolls stuff at the moment, like, why force yourself to do a show? You're just it's not going to have the same enthusiasm. So both Ark and Pixie have been having a ton of fun in New World, so I... not for any real reason, it's just not my thing. I don't care about New World, so it's just, hey, whatever. I'm glad people are loving it. It seems like it's a lot of people's things, so, and it's very pretty. But in the meantime, it's kind of like, well, Tales of Tamriel is now headed by me. So what I'm doing for the time being, as a solo show, as when you started, you're well aware before I joined, it's a little weird to try to just talk into the void. Wink. So I have been trying to integrate topics around the news on Tales with other hosts or other guests from the community. And I mean, we already worked together, so that was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of going on, and this coming week, some hype for that. The Red Diamond Courier is going to actually join us to discuss the state of PvP in ESO.
Nice.
So I'm going to have both Dog to Bark and Bob Tyshinsky from the network. They're going to join me over on this week's Tales of Tamriel.
Yeah, get ready for a California accent.
Oh yeah. Look, it's both coasts at once, because I can go full bore into Boston can just go all college to California.
You should totally. Yeah, Bob's California comes right out. It's so good.
But so that's really it, other than my organization of the upcoming charity event.
Yeah, dude, that was so fun. We had a great conversation.
That was great. I
let me know
it.
if you want to, you know, if you need another guest host, happy to come by.
I was going to say, rest assured, having another experienced podcast host, that's why you and Pylon are great fallbacks, because you're really good at helping organize the thing. Uh-huh. So that's it. It provides a more natural flow, which helps. And that's the other benefit. There's so many people in the community that have experience with this too.
Yeah.
So like matching you, I mean, Maddie's like a natural because he streams so much. So he's used to it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's great.
Yeah. Keep a conversation going is
for sure.
You know, being in front of an audience and keeping a conversation going, a flow of thought thing when you have to fill time is, and make it interesting is important.
Absolutely. Right. And don't get me wrong, podcasting isn't like hard necessarily, but like streaming in this, it's always joked that it's slightly easier than it looks.
Yeah, but you still have to practice it.
That, yes, there's a lot that go behind the scenes to prevent things that you will, and everybody has their own natural things that they do.
Right.
Mine is a huge one of preventing myself from getting an explicit rating on pretty much anything I do.
Yeah, a lot of people try podcasting and they don't realize how hard it is until they actually do it. And then they're like, tricky. I didn't realize how many times I say and and I didn't realize how much of a gap there is between when I say things and I just stop. It's like, right. Yeah, you have to pay attention to how you speak and what you say. It really does matter.
And it comes down to practice. Like,
yeah.
That's just it. It's like, and it's really hard to ever completely fix it. And you just get better at it. Right. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, let me know. And speaking absolutely. Of Bob, he jumped into the Back for Blood game recently, and I've been playing it a ton since I picked it up early because you could get in if you bought like the deluxe edition. And I was like, it's basically Left 4 Dead 3.0.
It really just looks like Left 4 Dead 3,
but it is way better than Left 4 Dead. And I could go on for another half hour about why it's better. A lot of people are like, oh, it's not as good as Left 4 Dead. No, it is better than Left 4 Dead for a number of reasons. And I loved Left 4 Dead. So it's nice. Hard. It's hard for me to be like, no, this is actually better than Left 4 Dead. It legitimately, I've played over 20 hours at this point. It is legitimately better than Left 4 Dead.
When did that game come out?
It came out like 2 days ago, but this is what I'm saying. Hold on. Wait. I picked it up like Friday or Thursday, because if you picked up the deluxe edition, you got it early. You got to play early.
Okay.
And the deluxe edition came with like the first year of content, all the DLCs and stuff.
Oh,
and
cool.
I played the beta. It's rare that I buy a game early, but I knew I was just going to buy it all anyway, and it was worth the money. So I was like, I get to play early and get all the extra content. So I just did it, you know?
Makes sense.
I've been playing it. I put up a sniper build on my YouTube video. I've been playing it in the mornings when I stream. So I'm looking for people to play with, and Bob's like, yeah, dude, I'll play with you. And I was like, awesome. Yeah. So Bob and I are going to be playing tomorrow morning together.
Cool.
I'm looking for other people to play with me. I'm also, since I've been streaming in the morning, I'm looking to, this is my new goal. People have been hanging out with me. It's so much fun playing games and just hanging out with everybody in the mornings. I've been playing and streaming every weekday morning. It's awesome. Today we got up to 19 concurrent viewers, which is great for my stream. Like that's nice. Awesome. So, you know, when the Twitch leaks went out and all the everybody saw how much all the streamers made, and they were like so surprised, even though all you have to do is count up how many subs they have, which is public knowledge, and multiply by $2.5 or $3.5.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like, well, duh. The other information that went out is some of the code behind Twitch. And one of the streamers who was a coder found that there's actually code in there. And it shows that the platform doesn't really help promote your stream until you have a higher than 25 concurrent viewer average.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Which makes sense, because something like 95% of streamers don't hit that average. Right,
I would imagine a lot more than that. One of the things
it's probably
I
really saw, high, yeah.
So yeah, one of the things I originally saw, if we're just, you know, kind of tossing around the analytics thing, one of the things that I was shown once, and I was like, wow, that is, it's one of those things. Anecdotally, things seem totally different than they are statistically. A lot of times,
statistically, sir, yes,
and important. I believe it was actually 90. Like, if you are in the top 5% of streamers.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have more than 5 average viewers.
Yeah. It's something huge. Like, oh, it's and because so like, many people just try it and then they never put any actual effort and they never actually take the time to do it. But yes. So, yeah. So you're probably in like the top 99% if you have more than 25 concurrent viewers on average. Right. And this is on average. So this would be like multiple streams over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, average 25. So that means some streams you have 20, but some streams you have 30. Right. So anyway, this means that they're only promoting streams that have 25 or higher concurrent average viewers. So these are people who have done it for a while and are really doing well with it. So that's my goal, is I want to be at least above that point so that things continue to take off. So this is my call out, because I've been saying like, hey, come help me out. Come hang out with my stream. Come in. And so here's my goal. If you're really good at lurking, if you're somebody who goes to work in the morning, and you know, I'm usually streaming by 8:30 in the morning every weekday, and you've got like an extra monitor up or something, or just your phone on your desk, just pop in my stream. Come on over and lurk. And here's what I'm going to do. If I hit an average of 25 concurrent viewers for a week straight, I will do a video game giveaway, and we're going to pick a winner, and I'm just going to give away whatever game the winner wants. So if you want to jump into New World, you haven't done that yet, you want to jump in for Backward Blood, if you haven't picked up ESO or Fallout 76 or whatever game is out there, or some brand new game coming out this fall, because there's a bunch of awesome games coming out, there's something coming out you want and you don't want to spend the money on it, come lurk in my stream. I'll be giving away stuff. Also, at the end of every one of my streams, I give away a stream loots pack, which potentially could have a gift card for Amazon. People have won those before. Remember when I was doing the whole the quiz show stuff? So I was going to say
one of the quiz show things. When we gave them away, somebody did win. Yep. Didn't they win like a $50 gift card or Amazon or something like
it was
that? Something.
I don't remember the amount, but it was a gift card for Amazon.
It was a pretty decent sized gift card. It was like, wow, that's like a game.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So those are on there. Cool. And some of the cards, and people can buy the Stream Loots cards on the stream in order to play the cards. And a lot of them do stuff on stream. There's now cards in there for Back for Blood, which I've been playing every day. And they make me do stupid crap in the game, which is really trolly, but hilarious. So anyway, that's my pitch. Come hang out with me and, you know, have some fun and help me grow the stream. So that's all at twitch.tv/robotsradio. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. But anyway, that's a really long way of explaining why I'm doing what I'm doing. But that's my goal. And I would love for you guys to come hang out with me. So. All right. That's the end of our show. That's it. We'll see you guys next week and then 2 weeks from now for our patron episode. So we're going to head out. Lotus, thanks for being here. Chat, thank you for being here as well. And we'll see you guys next time. Stay safe out there in Tamriel. It's a dangerous world. Everybody. There's lots of guars. They'll eat your heads. All right.
No, guars are your friend.
Guars are your friends, unless they're angry. Then their mouths are so big. All right. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please reach out to us at elderscrollslorecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @ESOLorecast. I really appreciate you listening, and I'd love to hear from you soon.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
I shouldn't have said that about guars. I love guars. I just don't make them angry.
Hey, I'm Pylon.
And I'm Doc.
And if you've ever played an Elder Scrolls game, you've probably used UESP.net to help you find information about a quest, dive deeper into lore, or really learn anything about the Elder Scrolls.
But did you know we have a podcast too? Every week we bring you the latest in Elder Scrolls news, dig deeper into topics surrounding the game, and have a ton of fun while doing it.
You can find us on your favorite podcatcher by searching the unofficial Elder Scrolls podcast. Can't wait to see you all there.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the grey maybe of Tamriel.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. Once Upon a Wasteland is their story. Follow Elizabeth Kirby and Odessa Valdez as they pursue their happily ever after in the post-apocalyptic Appalachian wasteland of Fallout 76. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and many other podcasting platforms. Once Upon a Wasteland, a Fallout 76 love story. Available now.